So today we are continuing our Fruitfulness on the Frontline series, where we're looking at how we might live out how we might live our lives, showing Jesus is Lord. That's what we're looking at in this series. And today we're looking at making good work. Now, I don't know how you feel about that title, but initially when I heard it, I was like, it doesn't make any sense. We don't make good work, we do good work. Surely we should be doing good work. But no, it is making good work. Today we're going to look a little bit at what that whole thing means. We'll look today at what it means to do good work, but also what it means perhaps to make our work good. You know, the work we're already doing, how we can look at it and see how it might be redeemed, how it can be made good in the fullest sense of that word, how it could be transformed to witness to the God we know and that we love. So today, hopefully together, we're going to make good work. But before we do, let's just pray once more. Father, as we come to your word this morning, we pray you would open our ears to hear your voice, not mine. God, anything that's of you, would you cause it to stick in our hearts and our minds as we go into our work this week? And anything not of you, would you let it fall by the wayside? We thank you for the wonderful example of work you give us and we get to explore in a bit of detail today. In Jesus' name, amen. So before we go too far into this today, I have a plea for you right here at the beginning. Don't disqualify yourself, okay? We all have a front line, a place where we work, where we do things. You know, for some of us, it will be paid work. For some of us, it'll be voluntary work. For some, it'll be running a home or looking after family members. For others, it might be tied to our interests, like going to the gym or park run. Crazy people. We all have a front line, a place where we do things with people, a place where we work. So this morning, I beg you not to rigidly tie ourselves to a definition of work that requires money to be given to you or strict hours. Wherever we spend our time doing things with people, that can be work. Well, and that's the definition I'm hoping we can run with this morning anyway. So for all of us, this is the something here. We have a front line. We all have things that we do, and how we do those things matters. If we want to be fruitful on our front line, we have to make good work. As Femi beautifully read to us, Matthew 5:17 says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Now, I don't know what image immediately pops into your mind when you read that verse. My immediate thought when I hear good works is those kind of social justice actions, you know, like helping homeless people or visiting those in prison or feeding the hungry. You know, the things that Jesus talks about in the parable of the sheep and the goats. And those are good works. And I don't know if that's where your mind goes. That's immediately where mine goes. And that's definitely a part of it. In fact, you know, that's obvious when we read this passage. We engage in actions of societal change and social justice, then we do highlight who our God is. And people will give praise and glory to him when they see us doing those good things, things that he cares about. But what if that phrase, good works, extends beyond those things? Those things are amazing, and of course we should be doing them. But what if that definition extends beyond that to our everyday work? The things that we do on our front line. To be fruitful then will be to work in such a way that people see our work is good. Not just in quality, but good in the way that it helps others. That it changes the things around us. And then they give glory to God as a result. And that's a key part to this whole thing about making good work. Is that part in that verse there. It doesn't say, do good works so that people may see your good works and praise God. You, it says that they may praise your Father in heaven. Before we even begin to look at what good work and what making good work might look like, we've got to remember why. Why we want to make good work. None of this series is about checking boxes or earning badges of honor. It's not about showing, it is about showing the world around us who God is and how he's changed our lives. All of this is for him, to point to him, so that others might also find the love that we found in him. It's all for him, and it's all to be done with him. We're to make good work, make our work good. But what we can achieve alone is nothing compared to what we can do with him. How good our work can be when we involve God. Now, before I came and worked here, I don't know if I've ever really shared much of this before, I used to work at a benefits department in a London council. And while I worked there, it was my first real proper job. And I remember now, looking back, that I kept my work and my faith very separate. It wasn't that I was hiding my faith. I'd happily talk about it with people. But I never thought to involve God in my work. It was like I didn't want to bother him with the boring day-to-day grind of what I got up to. And I separated the two things until there was one day that I was sat there and this tragic situation just came out of this person as they were sat across from me as I was just scanning their documents. And I realized at that moment all I could do was pray. And so I did. I couldn't pray for them, obviously, but I prayed in my head for them. And then I realized at that moment, it's like a light bulb went on. I can do this for everybody. I can pray for everyone who comes forward. I can ask God for guidance and strength as I do this every day. It seems obvious now, and maybe you've never experienced that. You've never had that issue of separating those two things. But I realize now I was trying my hardest to do good work, but my work only really became good when I started inviting God to help me do it. And maybe that's one of the differences between doing good work and making good work. We can do work that is good, of good quality on our own by trying our very best and putting in effort, which we should. But maybe our work can only truly be made good in the fullest possible sense of that word, have kingdom implications when we rely on his guidance at work, when we work in his strength, and when we focus on his priorities in our work. And you know, God's priorities always seem to revolve around people. God loves people. So it's no surprise that so often he seems concerned with human beings flourishing. This seems to be a priority for him, that human beings flourish. I mean, isn't that what Jesus pronounces in John 10:10 when he describes his purpose for being on earth? Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and life in all its fullness." When we look at the life of Jesus, how many of Jesus' miracles resulted in flourishing human beings? People freed from disease, fed because they're hungry, freed from captivity, and ultimately brought into relationship with the living God. Because that is where human beings flourish. God loves people, and he's passionate about them flourishing. And so we should be as well. In fact, I believe that is what is key to making good work, is to align ourselves with that priority. How is what I am doing going to make other people flourish? How does the work that you do, whatever it is, how does that help people flourish? You know, maybe for some of us, it's as simple as ensuring we just turn up on time. That way our colleagues have everything that they need. It's a small thing, but it can help people flourish in their work. Maybe it's as complicated as running a home with all the various things you have to do so that you create an environment of rest and refreshment for other people. Maybe it's creating an environment at work that feels safe so people can share what they're struggling with. Maybe it's wiping the sweat off a machine at a gym so nobody gets a rash. They're small things and they're big things. Each one helps people to flourish. It's going to be different for each one of us, for every person, for every front line. It's going to be different multiple times a day, big things, small things. But always it points to the same thing. We want to do good work. We want to make good work that helps people flourish because God is passionate about flourishing and people flourishing. And he always has been. Right from the very, very start. If we go back, we see God create human beings, but he doesn't do so on day one, does he? First, he takes 5 to 6 days to create an environment in which they can survive, in which they can flourish and grow. And then he sets them in a garden and gets them to work alongside him. From the very beginning, he was concerned with human flourishing. So as we begin to look at what good work might look like, how we might see good in our work and make good in our work, let's go back to the beginning, shall we? As we explore what making good work, work that helps people flourish looks like, let's start with work that was designed to help people flourish. Work that we know for a fact is good because God told us it is. So let's go back to the work of creation in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. The Spirit of God hovered over the waters. Formless, empty, dark. The water's a symbol of chaos. This is the beginning. And into that formless void, God begins his work. He starts by creating light, and then he separates water and forms dry land. And then God saw and said it was
good.
Here we see God working and we see it is good. It's the first good work we see in all of creation. Work that's leading towards an environment where humans can flourish. So what can we learn about good work from these passages? Well, first, good work creates order. The first few days of work, God speaks into the chaos and creates order. He creates structure. He forms day and night. He marshals the water and creates dry land. He creates order and structure that are integral for life. You know, if we continue, I'm going to get a bit nerdy here, so forgive me. But if we continue to trace this theme through scripture, what we'd find is not only does God create order and structure, but he maintains it as well. You know, when we come to the flood, For example, we get hints in the language that this disaster is brought about by God removing his hand, taking that structure away, and suddenly chaos comes right back in again. We could trace it right the way through, and it's fascinating. Again, I can't talk about the Bible Project highly enough if you want to explore some of the stuff like this. But anyway, good work, God's work in this moment, good work creates order and structure that leads to human flourishing. Now, let me be clear. Not all structure and order leads to human flourishing. I told you I worked in a council, so firsthand I can tell you, not all structure leads to human flourishing. And I have to put that in there as somebody who honestly doesn't like to be tied down to structure and order too much. It doesn't always follow. But nevertheless, it's blindingly obvious to me as a parent how structure and order can lead and help with human flourishing. You know, Rennie has started school a few weeks ago, and thank you to everyone who's been praying for her and helping her and talking to her about that. It's gone really, really well. But one of the reasons it's gone really, really well is a few weeks ago, before she started school, a wonderful mum that she is, Narelle, decided that we were going to have a brand new routine in the mornings. A routine that would mean we were all fed, all dressed, all sorted by the time it came to leave for school, so that we could get to school and Rennie could flourish in her lessons from having been fed and got ready, and nobody was stressed and angry at each other. And amazingly, it worked. There was only one person who was a problem, and that was me. It worked. This order that she put in place, this structure she created, it led to Rennie flourishing in her first few weeks. It was good work. Good work that created order that led to human flourishing. So now I want to throw it over to you. Now, I don't know your situation. I don't know your work. I can't possibly give you exactly what it looks like. So I have to ask you questions. What might you do to create some order and put some structure, not just for the sake of it, but where might you put structure into your work that it might help people around you flourish? How might you make your work good by the addition of some order in amongst the chaos? Good work creates order. Let's see what else we can learn from these passages. Good work generates provision. Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was
good.
Day 3 of God's work, and he begins providing ultimately for people. For those of us whose front line is paid work, this one might seem relatively simple. We can see how our work is good because it provides for our family, doesn't it? But we'd be missing something massive if we didn't look to those who work and it's not paid, who provide not through money but through many other means, including hospitality. I think I shared this recently, but I've been absolutely blown away by the idea recently that we are hosted on this earth by a generous and gracious God. That he hosts us. It's his world and we live in it. So God's good work in provision here is not limited just to the food. It's not limited just to wealth. God's provision here, he provides hospitality. He provides fellowship. He provides care and ultimately provides an environment where people can flourish. And these are all things that we too can provide. We can provide fellowship and care for those around us. We can provide an environment where people can flourish. So again, I have to throw it back over to you. How does your work generate provision? How could your work be good? How can you make your work good and provide for people, or even just one person, so that they might see in your actions just a glimpse of our God who provides? The third thing that we can see is that good work brings joy. This work is good. And I know the word good doesn't always sound all that, does it? You know, sometimes somebody asks me, how's your week been? And I'll go, oh yeah, it's good. And they go, oh, just good. You know, it's the lowest almost of the positive things we can say. There's brilliant, there's excellent, there's awesome above it. Good's right at the bottom of those positive things. But that is the problem with the English language. When we come to the Hebrew, it's much bigger and much wider than that. It's not, in Hebrew, the word is tov, and it can also be translated as beautiful, excellent, best. Not good, but good. You know, it's good. And God's work here is good. It's a reason for great joy. And you know what? In Job, we actually get a glimpse behind the curtain of eternity. At this point in the story, God is telling Job off, just warning. But we get a little peek of what was going on in creation in the heavenly realms. So while God's telling Job off and he says, where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? He then says, while the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God, the angels shouted for joy. The work of creation brought joy. Good work brings joy. And again, for some of us, it might be super easy for how our work brings joy. If we're lucky enough to have work that is involved in like creating a computer game or playing silly games, you know, like mine, you can see how joy might be very easy things. It must be much harder if you work for the Inland Revenue. But good work creates joy. So again, it's over to you. If your work is easy to find joy in or hard, good work creates joy. How does your work create joy? How could it create joy? If not for the users of your service, how could you create joy for those around you? Good work creates joy. Finally, the fourth thing I think we can see is that good work creates beauty. Again, the word good in Hebrew, tov, can mean beautiful. So when God says it was good, part of that is he declares his work beautiful. But as much as it's lovely to have that declaration from God, it's obvious, isn't it? Look at the world around us. It is beautiful. You see the leaves changing colour, the shiny conkers. I could go on and on because I find incredibly easy to find beauty in creation. God's good work created beauty. And so too our good work should create beauty. And again, that's easy for those of us who might be artists or carpenters or builders, those who plate up beautiful food or those who make those swirly patterns in coffee. But what about the rest of us? Defining beauty is difficult, isn't it? Maybe we need to redefine what beauty is, but defining beauty is difficult. What I find beautiful, you might not find beautiful. It's that old phrase, isn't it? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So perhaps the best way to see how we might create, how we might make work, how we might make good work that is beautiful, is to consider who we need to find it beautiful, who the beholder is. We need to consider who the beholder is. And so we're back where we started a little moment ago, with remembering that we're seeking to do this for him. Yes, of course we want to do our good. We want to see our good works, see others see our good works so they might praise our Father in heaven. But at the end of the day, that good work that they see, it's not done for them. It's done for him. So the beholder, the only beholder we need perhaps for us each to consider and to spend time asking him, what do you find beautiful? So that we might be able to create work, make good work that's beautiful to God. So how can you do that? How could your work be transformed to something beautiful that God would find beautiful, that would help people flourish? You know, can I be honest for a moment? I honestly feel a little bit lazy this morning because I keep throwing it back to you. I want to tell you what making good work looks like wherever you are, whatever your context, but I can't do it. We can explore together God's good work and what it looks like. And I hope you found that illuminating as we have quickly gone through that this morning. But at the end of the day, how this plays out for you, I can't tell you. It's too specific, it's too personal, it's too new, unique to you that only you can work out together with God what it looks like on your front line to make good work. And so I ask you, I plead with you this morning, I encourage you to take time to do it. I haven't given you nearly enough time to look at these questions this morning. But look at your front line. Think about what you can do to make your work good, to make good work. As it says in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Whatever you do. So please, I ask you, take some time to consider your front line. Whatever you do, because we need to do it as if we're doing it for God. And I want to ask you a question. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about the idea that everything you do it for God? Does that inspire you? You know, that every little thing you do, whether it's really insignificant and nobody sees it, does it inspire you and encourage you that even though they don't see it, you're doing it for God? Does that give you more purpose or drive? Or does it make you feel a little bit overwhelmed? I mean, this is the creator of the universe, after all, the king of creation. If I'm working for him, if I'm working, doing whatever I can for him, then man, everything I have to do has to be excellent. Everything I do has to be excellent. In fact, it has to be better than excellent. It has to be perfect, doesn't it? But I can't do that. And I'll be honest, if you hadn't realized, that's where my mind goes of the two. How can I do this? It has to be perfect because he's amazing. Because he's the king of creation. But whilst striving for excellence in working for God is right, because he is the Lord of all creation, I'm missing a vital part here. Yes, he is the king of kings. He is the Lord of lords. I have to work my very best. He's the ruler of the universe. But he's also my dad. We're not just working for the king of the universe, some distant, impersonal overlord. We're working for our Father, which means when we do our best, when we do good work in partnership with him, when we seek to work in such a way to help those around us flourish, it's enough. It's not perfect, and it never will be, but it's good. It's good. When we work at it with all our hearts, it's good. And no doubt it makes him happy. And maybe you think I'm overstepping there by saying it makes him happy, but go with me for a moment. I figure this. I'm not a perfect father, not even close. But when one of my daughters brings me a picture that might only be a bunch of crayons swirled around on a page, I don't just see a tangled mess of wax on a sheet. I see my daughter developing her hand-eye coordination. I see her trying a new skill that one day she may discover is a true God-given talent. I see her ordering the colors in a way to express something meaningful to her. I see her creating something that she finds beautiful, that's brought her joy and that she thinks might bring me joy too and offers it to me as a gift. And if that's how I feel as a far less than perfect father, how much more does our Heavenly Father, our perfect Father, see and feel and experience when we give our best to the work that he's put in front of us? It's not perfect. It may not even look that great. But if we work at it with all our hearts, for him, it's good. So whatever work it is that you do, whatever your front line looks like, whatever you do, make good work. Work you put your whole heart into. Work that creates order, that generates provision, that brings joy and creates beauty, that helps those around you flourish and grow. And why? So that those around you might see your good work and glorify your Father in heaven. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for the honor it is to be able to call you that. To know we don't have some impersonal, faraway king, but a Father who is involved in our lives, that knows us intimately. Thank you that this morning you know each of our front lines. You know each of the work you have called us to. We pray this morning you would open our eyes to see how we can make it good. Not that people might praise us, but that so we might point to you, so the glory might go to you. Show us this week, we pray, Father, how to make good work for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.